Dinabandhu, Prabhu from France, Dan Michel. I agree that this material world is a kind of hell, but as living entities, why do we have to suffer so much in Narak if we don't and can't remember it? What is the use of such punishment? And when you punish too much severely a child, instead of educating him, will it not lead to the opposite result? Now, this question is... So thank you very much for Dan Michel, Dinabandhu Prabhu, for your question. And this question is an expansion of... Actually, there are two questions there. So the first question is an expansion of the question, well, if there's reincarnation, why can't we remember it? And of course, many people do remember it, either nowadays by hypnotic regression, and many children in early, up to the age of five, they remember it. And between these two processes, two phenomena, there is plenty of what we can call scientific evidence of reincarnation. And why don't we remember it? We don't remember it because we have come to this world to forget our eternal position as a servant of Krishna. We want to live in this world under the illusion that I am the enjoyer of my present situation, whether the situation is as a human being or a cat or a dog, or even in hell it's described that there's there's some illusion of pleasure even there, even in that suffering condition. So we don't remember because we want to have the illusion of being the enjoyer of our situation. But in conducting that situation of trying to enjoy, we inflict suffering on others. Because if we're not loving Krishna, then we're envious of Krishna. We become envious of others. We put ourselves in the center instead of Krishna. And therefore we get reactions. And we forget that because we want to be in the particular matrix that we're in now. Yes, I am 24 years old. I'm a male. I am born in France. And I'm... this is my situation, I'm going to enjoy it. And we're fully wrapped up in that illusion of being in that situation. If we remember that we have previous lives, then that whole bubble gets burst, but we don't want that. But actually we do, in the depth of our hearts, we do want it, and therefore various teachers come and tell us that we are eternal, we're meant to serve Krishna, we're meant to serve God. Now, the idea that hellish punishment, it doesn't serve its purpose, is not educational if we forget it. But please remember that in all civilized societies throughout history, there has been religion and there has been an understanding that there is hell, that you do get a reaction for all the sinful activities that you do. And this was very prominent all over the world in Hindu society, in Buddhist society, in Christian society. And that belief in hell has really come down due to the Enlightenment and humanism in Europe, prominently from France. the philosophers who doubt the existence of the soul and doubt the existence of God and doubt the existence of eternality and of heaven and hell. Otherwise, in all human societies throughout history, the understanding that there is a hell is very prominent in people's consciousness, and that we have to escape that by turning to God. Or in the Hindu tradition, there is the performing atonement, penances. So that understanding is there, that there is severe punishment. And the fear of it, that the fear of it is the beginning of the commitment to lead at least a grossly sinful life and to turn to God. Now, in the Western world, the concept of God is very much one of fearing God. And we don't have that in the bhakti traditions within the Vedic Vaishnava culture. The idea is of loving God. And if you love God, then automatically you're delivered from hellish punishment. But at the same time, we should be aware that we may think, well, gross punishment, if we don't remember it, but we should know that for every action, there is a reaction. If you torture humans or animals physically or mentally, you're going to get a reaction for that. So this knowledge is propagated in society, and in this way, it is educational. Now, also, if you overly punish a child, will they not react in the opposite way? Well, I was talking about the Enlightenment, so-called Enlightenment and humanism. Well, maybe that is a reaction, perhaps partially a reaction, to the kind of religion that emphasizes so much that the main idea of God, the main reason to believe in God is to escape hellish punishment. We say Jesus has saved us. You maybe don't hear that so much in France, because that's very much the born-again Christian Protestant idea over in America. Jesus saves you. And the idea saved from hell. The history of France is that the Catholics in their religious wars with the Protestants came out on top. And then gradually just a general state of atheism came out on top. But this the whole emphasis on in the Christian religion, certainly as I was raised in an Irish Catholic background, the whole idea is that Jesus saves you from sin. We're all born in sin. Otherwise, we have to suffer. So, quite likely, apart from the whole scientific outlook, and then they doubt what's in the Bible and what the church teaches, and the heliocentric versus geocentric universe and all this kind of thing. there's a revulsion against the idea of God. I know myself in my childhood, I said, the idea of a God who just punishes you and throws you in hell, it's a horrible idea. The main thing God does in his life is just throw people into hell. So it may be that the idea of excess punishment, it does turn people off. But again, in the Vedic tradition, as I understand, there's reincarnation, and you do get punished severely, but then again you get another chance and another chance and another chance and another chance. And the punishment is severe because the activities are, you may say it's, well, a very severe punishment. Again, that's because we take sin lightly, thanks to our secular humanistic outlook, which is predominant in the world today. We take it very lightly. We don't realize that the importance of this human life. We're supposed to act in a manner that is conducive for God realization. But instead, if we use it for torturing other living beings or just waste our life in intoxication, we engage in sex with other people's wives and so on and so on. So these are not light things. We make light of it because we don't realize the responsibility of human life. It is very severe, and there are severe punishments. But then it's over, and then you start again. And if you're born in a culture where spiritual knowledge is, or at least knowledge that there is God and there is good and there is evil. You see, the modern society, this impersonalism of an atheism, modern society has lessened the understanding of sin and piety and what is good and what is bad. What is good is what you like to do or what you feel like you like to do. If someone falls in love with his teacher and then she gets divorced and he marries her even though she's 15 years older than him, that's fine. No, it's not fine. That's wrong. Referring to a certain person in France by the name of Monsieur Macron, the present, anyway, you know. It's not fine. And then the Prime Minister of Britain is divorced and his partner, he's not even married to her, has a child by him, and it's all okay. Because people, they don't believe in an absolute sense of good and wrong. So we have to distribute this knowledge very widely so people can know. We don't want that people will be punished. We don't take pleasure in that. But people should know that you just can't commit sinful activities and get away with it. Nor is man the measure of all things. Nor is men decide what is morality and what is right and what is wrong. Yashastra vidimutsrita vartate karma karata. Nasa siddhavavatnoti nasukam naparangatim. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, people who disregard the instructions of these scriptures and act whimsically, they cannot attain the perfection of life, they cannot attain happiness, they cannot attain the supreme destination. Tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vivastito gyatva shastra vidhanoktam. Therefore, one should know, it is the duty of a human being to know what are the injunctions of scripture and act accordingly. People don't know, they don't want to know, they make light of the scriptures. It's a very bad time. We need to give real spiritual knowledge to people so that they don't think that acting sinfully is just normal. Hare Krishna. To summarize succinctly, traditionally people wouldn't have, or up to the present day, people don't have memories of hell directly, most of them, but they were aware, they were conscious of hell and hellish punishments. And that kept them afraid. So they didn't need to remember. They were quite aware of what was going on. And you'll find also that awareness means if you see a creature, a lower species, a snake, an envious snake that bites for no reason, a cobra may... It's quite common that a cobra strikes for no reason. Then you know that they must have been a very envious and sinful person in a previous life. So they, and he's gone through hellish punishments and now has taken that body. And the lower species of life are themselves hellish punishments for the jiva who is meant to be living and loving and laughing with Krishna. So one has to see through the eye of Shastra. Generally we think that seeing, due to our Western or secular atheistic education, we believe in what we see through the eyes or what we can experience through the senses. But this is not the way to understand topics of the soul. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, utkramantang stitang vapi bhunjanam vaguran vitam vimura nanu pashanti pashanti jnana chakshushaha. This verse is in relation to the process of rebirth. How does it go on? Krishna says, that how the living being goes from one body to another, not exactly the specifics of it, but the mechanism of it, how did we go from one body to another? People who are foolish, they cannot see this, but it is seen by a person who has the eye of knowledge. The eye of knowledge, that means Shastra Chakshusha. See, seen through the eye of Shastra, which is given by Krishna.